The next case today is number 231030, Melissa Ng versus Tufts University. Attorney Notice, please introduce yourself for the record.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Mitchell Notice. I am here this morning representing appellant Dr. Melissa Ng, and with the court's permission, I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Counsel, before you go into the merits, there's a threshold question I'd like to ask. The review is de novo, and I've been looking at the record, the statement of material facts filed by opposing counsel, the opposing party, and your response. And it would seem to me that it doesn't comply with Local Rule 56.1 of the Massachusetts District Court rules, because the statements that you do object, which are 29, 30, 71, 89, 103, 104, 105, and 122, they're simply not an objection. You're basically going into a very detailed explanation. And I think that does not necessarily conform with the rules. So if you want to address that briefly and then, of course, go with your argument.
Your Honor, I wasn't ready to address that this morning, but what I would say is, at any point where we objected or didn't agree to their statement of facts, we felt it was necessary to enter into an explanation as to why we didn't, and we tried to give that in as much detail as possible. And we do believe it is in compliance with Rule 56.1.
Okay, and I have the same question for opposing counsel, so go ahead then.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, this is a case in which Dr. Melissa Ng, a teacher of dental medicine, an extremely competent one, initially was, when she was at Tufts School of Dental Medicine, she was subjected to sexual harassment by a colleague who had actually had allegations of sexual harassment of another faculty member and also of students previously. After she reported the sexual harassment and was involved in an investigation, she was denied promotion to full professor, and after that, she was denied the opportunity on several occasions to reapply for promotion to full professor. We come to the court this morning with two issues. The first is whether Dr. Ng was retaliated against for engaging in protected activities related to the sexual harassment on two occasions, and secondly, and whether there was a genuine issue of material fact in dispute on that, which the district court ignored. Secondly, whether Dr. Ng alleged enough procedural irregularities in the promotion process that under the case law, there was adequate evidence of pretext. So as to the first argument.
Is there any evidence in the record to show that the committee knew Dr. Ng had filed the sexual harassment complaint?
There is not, Your Honor. However, there's that series of letters, of rejection letters, which get progressively, each draft gets progressively more severe. It goes from essentially, let's consider it in a while, we're not doing it now, to maybe not, to the final letter, which is important, which is written by the dean, Hugh Thomas, who, although he did not directly take part in the promotion process, he was aware, the testimony is he was aware at the time, and he's the one who says, no, it's rejected, the most severe one. He was aware of her sexual harassment complaints. There's testimony of that. Additionally, he was the subject of at least two sexual harassment complaints, so we think there may be some bias there. That is not the focus of the appeal, but we think the court should certainly be aware of that. As to the retaliation again, if I may, Dr. Ng engaged in protected activity on two occasions. The first was back in 2017 when she made her claims of sexual harassment. The second one, and that's obviously taking part in the discrimination process. The second part, which was showing opposition, was on December 18th, I believe it was, 2018, when she met her new department chair for the first time. She told the new department chair, I filed a complaint of sexual harassment against a colleague a year ago, and I was also denied promotion, and I was subjected to sexual harassment. And within only 27 days of telling the chair that, the chair told her in a meeting, well, I'm most likely not going to recommend you for promotion, and this recommendation is a requirement. At the time, the evidence is also that at the time the chair said this 27 days later, that I'm most likely not going to recommend you for promotion, the chair acknowledged.
I'm puzzled because your pleadings say I'm most likely not going to promote you, but then two paragraphs down, you say words to that effect, and then your client sent an email, as I recall it, saying that I may not. What are we to make of that?
I think both statements are equivalents, Your Honor. I mean, that we're repeating here what the chair said in the meeting, and then my client.
And why is there anything, you know, it's a new department chair comes in, she's meeting with a person that's going to report to her, she knows she was denied promotion, and she's warning the person up front that she might not. You can't take me for granted. What's wrong with that?
Well, because as a matter of fact, the department chair, although she denied making the statement, she said, I wouldn't have made that statement because I had no knowledge about her qualifications. She didn't know one way or the other, and she essentially acknowledges that. So in light
of that, if she had no knowledge about her qualifications, how could she commit to writing a favorable letter?
But she would have said she wouldn't have mentioned anything about it. Here she says she probably won't. And she had no knowledge other than the fact that Dr. Ng had filed claims of sexual harassment, which she learned only 27 days earlier. And she's acknowledged she wouldn't have said that because she didn't know what her qualifications were. And indeed, she made a comment about 3 months later telling Dr. Ng, well, you need to go to more sexual harassment training. There was no reason for that. The other thing, Your Honor, I want to point out in my remaining time, it's very important. There was a motion to dismiss filed at the very beginning of the litigation. And Judge Stearns denied that motion to dismiss. And in his denial, he stated, and this is certainly in the record, that based upon the allegations that were made in the complaint, Dr. Zandona made these statements, and based on everything else, viewed in the light most favorable to Dr. Ng, the court could reasonably infer causation from the chain of events, and he refused to dismiss. And in this case, nothing changed. Nothing regarding the facts changed. Dr. Ng made the allegations, Dr. Zandona denied having said that. We have a genuine dispute of material fact.
But the standard changes between a motion. You're given a lot more leeway on a motion to dismiss than you are on a Rule 56 motion.
Certainly, Your Honor, but there's no other evidence that was adduced.
That's precisely the judge's point. At a motion to dismiss, you are open to the possibility that there may be further evidence supporting something, so it's plausible there will be that evidence. You get to Rule 56, if there isn't the evidence, then you've got a problem.
There was no contrary evidence, Your Honor. There was no explanation of why she would have said that, no explanation at all. And based on that, and based on summary judgment, the statements made by Dr. Ng had to be taken in a light most favorable to her, as did the rest of the evidence. So based on that, there's a genuine dispute of material fact. It was ignored by the court. And again, despite the different standards between a motion to dismiss and a motion for summary judgment, the decisions were contradictory. There should not have been summary judgment granted. If there are
Thank
no
you.
Other questions right now, I'll wait till rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Attorney Sternberg, please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you. May it please the court, I'm Jeremy Sternberg on behalf of the Appalachian Tufts University. The summary judgment standard is paramount here. And as this circuit has held many times, plaintiff may not rely on conclusory allegations, improper inferences, acrimonious invective, or rank speculation. And yet, that is all that Dr. Ng has brought forth here.
Well, they're saying that on day one, the new boss is told she filed a sexual harassment claim, and then on day 27, the new boss says, I probably won't appoint you, knowing nothing else other than the person had filed the claim, so therefore we infer motivation. So they are alleging some facts. It's a bit of an overstatement to say it's only conclusory.
Your Honor, as you correctly point out, at this first meeting in January of 2019, Dr. Ng and Dr. Zandona meet in December of 2018, and the meeting that took place in January of 2019 where this alleged statement is made, Dr. Zandona does know very little about Dr. Ng. But she does know one thing, and that is that this meeting is about Dr. Ng asking for more detail as to why the Faculty Promotions Committee has unanimously rejected her application for promotion to full professor. And so as your colloquy with Mr. Notice noted, Dr. Zandona is a brand new department chair and knows that a faculty promotions committee that has seriously and carefully considered that application has unanimously rejected it. Of course she's not going to commit to writing a letter of recommendation right off the bat. She needs to get to know Dr. Ng, look at her application, see where the educational leadership credentials can be burnished. And I'll get to some of the detail of that context in a moment, but I first want to talk about the two unabandoned claims here. This case started off as a much larger set of allegations, and it's down to two unabandoned claims. One is for gender discrimination with respect to the Faculty Promotions Committee's decision in April of 2018 to reject Dr. Ng's application for promotion. And Dr. Ng has proffered no evidence whatsoever as to gender discrimination as to that claim. When asked at her deposition to describe whether she had suffered any gender discrimination, she gave a speech of merely conclusory allegations and speculation. In her own words, she said, and this is at Joint Appendix 128, "It's like there's gender discrimination everywhere in academics. We know that. It's written up everywhere. We know there are written articles everywhere about gender bias. We just know it. It exists." That is not nearly the kinds of specific facts that she needs to come forward with in connection with summary judgment on that claim. And Judge Montecalvo, as you correctly noted, there's no evidence in the record that anyone on that promotions committee knew anything about Dr. Ng's complaint in June of 2017 regarding sexual harassment by another faculty member. Absolutely no connection at all between those two. So the decision is made in April of 2018 by a vote of 5 against, 1 table, 1 abstain, to reject Dr. Ng's application for promotion. The notion of any of these procedural irregularities, Mr. Notice talked about the letters getting progressively more negative, the time it took to inform Dr. Ng of her of the fact that she wasn't going to be promoted, all irrelevant. The decision was made by the Faculty Promotions Committee in April of 2018. How it was communicated, the strength of the letter, the stridency of it, has no bearing whatsoever on anything to do with gender discrimination, and that claim simply cannot stand. As to the other unabandoned claim, that Dr. Zandona somehow retaliated against Dr. Ng, Dr. Ng similarly fails to meet her burden on this claim. There is no evidence in this record of any genuine issue of material fact that Dr. Zandona retaliated against Dr. Ng because when they first met in 2018, Dr. Ng informed Dr. Zandona that Dr. Ng had been the victim of sexual harassment more than a year earlier by a former faculty member who Dr. Zandona didn't know, had never met, and was gone from the school by the time Dr. Zandona arrived. It's important that the context for the statement, that the alleged statement, and there's a lot of reason to discredit that the statement by Dr. Zandona was made. Judge Kayada, as you pointed out, there's a contemporaneous email that talks about how in Dr. Ng's own words, Dr. Zandona may not write a letter of recommendation for her. Nothing about this statement appeared in the MCAD complaint. It appears for the first time in the complaint in this case. But even if one accepts that the statement was made, it doesn't come anywhere close to raising a genuine issue of material fact as to retaliation. One must look at the context, as the district court did, not once but twice. The district court, on a motion to alter the judgment, noted that it had considered all the facts, including the fact that Dr. Ng asserted that the district court didn't conclude about this statement allegedly made by Dr. Zandona in January of 2019, and considered it in context. And what is the context? The context is Dr. Ng and Dr. Zandona meet in December of 2018. There's a meeting involving the dean, Dr. Zandona, Dr. Ng, and others, which Dr. Ng wants more information about why she was rejected, wants it in writing, wants detail. And then the important context is, what does Dr. Zandona do between January of 2019 and October, November, December 2019? And the record is clear on this. Dr. Zandona works with Dr. Ng to help her on her application, makes specific suggestions to Dr. Ng as to ways in which she can burnish her educational leadership credentials. And even when she decides that she's not ready yet, and yet is an important word, to recommend Dr. Ng for promotion in the 2019 promotion cycle, she tells her in writing in December of 2019 that while she's not ready yet, she remains committed to supporting her committed to helping work together with her to achieve her promotion to full professor. The record is very clear about this, and this over-focus, hyper-focus on this one alleged statement made by Dr. Ng really misapprehends the way that this court looks at summary judgment and retaliation cases. Trying to pick apart one particular fact out of context is not the way that this court looks at it. The focus is on whether there's a genuine issue of material fact as to retaliation, a genuine issue of material fact as to pretext, and there's none of that. And the reason we know that is we look at what Dr. Zandona did between January 2019 and December 2019. The record shows that Dr. Zandona met with Dr. Ng in March of 2019 to go over her application. The record shows that again in April 2019, Dr. Zandona provided specific feedback to Dr. Ng in writing, including, and I quote, focus efforts on a specific area to become more nationally and internationally recognized around a topic. The record shows that the two met again in May of 2019, and again in May 2019, Dr. Zandona provided specific comments as to ways in which Dr. Ng could improve her educational leadership credentials and therefore be more likely to be promoted. The record shows that the two met again in July and August of 2019 so that Dr. Zandona could assist Dr. Ng with her promotion application, and again in October 2019.
I think we've read the brief, the statement of facts and the brief.
One of the things that's important as well is the timing. Dr. Ng suggests that a statement was made in January of 2019, but concedes in her complaint, which is in Joint Appendix 11 and 22, that Dr. Ng did not know for certain until October 2019 that Dr. Zandona would not agree at that time yet to recommend her for promotion. That span of time, 10 months, where the two were working, where Dr. Zandona was working closely with Dr. Ng, is far too long to infer any kind of temporal proximity between the statement made by Dr. Ng to Dr. Zandona in December of 2018 about her previous experience with sexual harassment. And it also highlights a point made correctly by the district court. There's no connection between the statement made by Dr. Ng to Dr. Zandona about her previous experience at the school with sexual harassment and anything Dr. Zandona did. In fact, the record is clear that Dr. Zandona only worked with Dr. Ng in an effort to help her achieve her promotion, and putting in writing in December 2019 that she remained committed to do that is a critical and important and unrebutted fact. Dr. Ng has marshaled no evidence to meet her obligation to show pretext at this stage, nothing that would show that Dr. Zandona's reasons for being unwilling in October of 2019 to recommend her for promotion at that time, which were the same reasons that the promotions committee declined to promote Dr. Ng on in April of 2018, were a pretext, were a sham, were some kind of a sham to disguise retaliation. In sum, Your Honors, the lack of evidence, the complete lack of evidence at this point on gender discrimination and the understanding of the evidence in context regarding the alleged retaliation mean that Dr. Ng has failed to meet her burden at this stage, and Tufts respectfully requests that the panel affirm the district court in full. And I see that I'm out of time, and unless the panel has any other questions.
Just one quick question, same question I asked opposing counsel. What's your view on the opposing statement of material facts filed by Ms. Ng? Does it comply with local rule 56.1?
Your Honor, it may not have complied in that it goes beyond a denial and then framing the denial with record evidence, but based on what Dr. Ng has admitted in the as to the genuine material facts, there are no genuine issues of material fact on this record, and summary judgment should enter.
And that would be independent of those that are objected. There's sufficient aside from those?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Attorney Notice, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your
thank you, Mitchell. Just waiting for the clock to reset, sir. Mitchell Notice, representing Appellant Melissa Ng for my 2 minutes of rebuttal. What I would like to do is point the court to two parts of, or two decisions, again, of Judge Stearns. In his final decision granting summary judgment, which can be found at page 490 of the joint appendix or page A7 of the decision when it's enclosed in our brief. Judge Stearns quotes this statement at issue as the following. He says, Dr. Zandona told Dr. Ng that should she reapply, I most likely am not going to promote you. Not that maybe I will, maybe I won't, I'm not sure yet. I most likely am not going to promote you. Additionally, as to the timing here and what we feel is the temporal connection is between the statement in December 18 that I oppose sexual harassment, I had filed something, and the January 9th decision statement, I most likely am not going to promote you, and his decision on the
The difficulty here is motive. You know, if Zandona had learned on December 18 that Dr. Ng had filed a complaint against Zandona, then we might look at that comment differently because there'd be some obvious motive. It's hard to see a motive here, though. Zandona shows up in December, has got a new person, knows who wasn't designed. Why would she care whether, why would she want to treat badly someone who had filed a claim against some other person who was no longer at the university that the university had treated reasonably?
Your Honor, we don't know the answer to that, but once again, there, she knew nothing else, so her decision has to be based on that. She didn't
know. Well, she knew that your client was turned down. That's a pretty big deal for a department head
coming in. But she wasn't familiar with her qualifications. She wasn't familiar with that process,
sure,
other than the fact of turning down. So the only concrete thing she really knew was this having filed the charge.
Okay.
Or if there are no further questions, I thank the court for your time.
Thank you.
That concludes argument in this case. All rise. This session of the Honorable United States Court of Appeals is now recessed until tomorrow morning. God save the United States of America and this honorable court.